Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to That Sport For You To You. But you didn't put it in the title. You didn't call the show That Sport For You To You last time.
Didn't I?
No, that's one. I didn't want to say anything bad. I wanted to be positive because, you know, it was your first time doing the work.
But, yeah, it's nice, yes.
But I thought it was interesting you hadn't put that in. But anyway, that's fine.
You got to say criticism. Perfect criticism. Anyway, yeah. Carry on.
Dave and Tom here to talk about the Chinese Grand Prix, the 1,000th race. No, not the 1,000th. The 1,000th Formula One event, I think they called it.
I think that's right.
Because it's not...
I think it was... Yeah, so let's get the clarification out of the way here. This was the 1,000th Formula One World Championship race. Okay.
No. Was it... I thought it wasn't that.
No, it was the 1,000th World Championship race, but it's not. But it wasn't the 1,000th Formula One race because of various reasons.
Right, it's very confusing.
it's not that confusing actually, because a couple of years back in the 50s, the Indianapolis 500 was considered the points for that race went towards the Formula One World Championship. But it was a race not run to Formula One rules, and also between in the mid 1950s, Formula One was quite rare, and a lot of teams didn't want to conform to the specifications. So the governing body decided to run Formula One to Formula Two specifications just to get the numbers up.
And there was a thing as well about it not being a Grand Prix, not called a Grand Prix or something. Until the 70s or something.
Was it? I didn't know about that one actually.
Well, I may be wrong with that.
But possibly right. Yeah, possibly right. No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
It was Formula One 1,000 as they bigged it up to be.
Yeah.
And the race itself wasn't exactly the spectacle I don't think we were all hoping for, which is crazy when you think about it, because the Chinese Grand Prix in last year, 2018, was one of the best races of the season, whereas this race, not so much. And I'm going to be honest, straight off the bat, even though I was only watching the highlights package on Channel 4 UKT, on UKTV, I was struggling to keep my eyes open, which is... doesn't really say much.
It doesn't bode well.
But we'll crack on. There were some interesting moments in this race. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So
should we go back to qualifying? Because there was an interesting event.
You read my mind.
Go on.
My mind. That's exactly where I was going to go first. We'll start in qualifying. Valtteri Bottas put his Mercedes on the front row of the grid.
Let's go back. Oh, let's go back to going back practice further. three. because Albon had a massive crash, which that was important.
Well, you say,
like, side story to the race.
Yes, it built the race. Well, not for him, obviously, but very very disappointing to see. But at the same time, though, it's quite like I think I said in the past. If you're going to make a mistake like that, do it in practice rather than the race, because then you know that's where the limit is, and no real damage done, as it were. But obviously, his free practice, his car was completely destroyed, so there was no way that the team could get it fixed in time for qualifying, which meant Albon started from the pit lane. But as we found out, it wasn't too bad for him. Valtteri Bottas, front of the grid, he put in a stellar lap, to be fair.
Yeah, and he bossed it.
He did boss it, yeah, and you're right. And so this was more Valtteri Bottas of Australia coming back through, and that's great. That's kind of what we want to see.
Yeah, we'd prefer to see the Australian and the Bahrain version.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Indeed, yeah, and it was an unusual grid as well, wasn't it? Because it was very much Noah's Ark, two by two, because you had the Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, Renault, and then was it Haas, I believe. So it was quite an unusual grid. And I've not seen that for many years.
The first time the top 10 have been 2x2 since 2011.
Apparently. Was it? Yeah. Oh, right. I didn't know that.
2011, and Vettel won the race, apparently. I'm not entirely sure. Singapore, maybe. Maybe it was Singapore. Should I check this? But then,
I think we should.
Okay. Yes, it was Singapore 2011. And... yeah,
so that was worth it.
Vettel was on pole and he won the race as well.
There we go. So that was the first race since 2011 that the top 10 were in team order, as it were. Which is but at the same time, I would say it's quite indicative. Indicative of the current race order, I would say, with Mercedes currently leading the way. So anyway, that was qualifying, and the race got underway.
Hold on, qualifying. I wanted to touch on the Max Verstappen incident at the final corner.
I glossed over that.
What is your view on it?
I would say Max needs to stop moaning a little bit and just get on with it. He's not.
Agreed.
You know, it's always someone else's problem. You know, with Max, it seems he's always blaming someone else. It's never him.
The thing I don't get is like when Vettel passed him, there was quite a gap until the Renaults did.
Yeah.
So he had lots of time to. He had enough of a gap to then go, and he seemed to just have a moan, and then the Renaults passed him as well. And then by the time he got around the corner, it was too late.
Exactly.
I mean, if they had more time, then they would have lined up and gone in turn, I think. But it was the fact that... because I said that as soon as they started to come out of the pit, I said that... they're not going to make it. The final cars, I'm going to predict now that they won't make it. And then they were coming round, and I'm not surprised that they all had a bit of a tussle to try and get by.
So obviously there were teams going out at the end to try to make the best of the track conditions. But for whatever, so it was obviously very heated as well. And Max Verstappen just lost the hot head again. Coming through. If he just got his head down and got on with it, he would have made another lap. He would have got another lap in. So it's hard to see what. I mean, you're entitled to overtake in qualifying. There's nothing to say you can't not overtake someone. So what's his problem?
Because he did a post saying that it's an unspoken rule that you all line up and you take it in turns to go.
Really?
And then...
Really?
Hamilton then came back and he just went, nope. That's all he said was nope.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's all that he needed to say.
Unspoken rule that applies only to that. Everyone told Max Verstappen that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I kind of get it, because they all do slow down towards the end and they give the next car a bit of room before they go. But when there's no time, you're not going to let them go if you then can't go. If it's one of the two,
at the end of the day, it is every man for himself. And if you're, muscled out, don't start whinging about it. Get on with it.
Exactly.
As we'll get on to the race got a little bit more tasty for Max than in qualifying. So moving on to the race, if I may. Lewis Hamilton beat Valtteri Bottas off the line. He got a better start, and that was the race.
The race was won at turn one.
Mercedes had an untroubled run, didn't they? I don't think they were even pushing. Were they even pushing?
Yeah.
They did the double stacked pit stop, which I thought was very risky.
That was.
Oh, is it absolutely?
That was brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very risky, but yeah. Because I was thinking as soon as they said that, I was like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? Like, they're cruising to the win.
Yeah.
Why risk it? And then when they pulled it off, like, perfectly, I was like, that was...
It was. And I think Bottas's stop, when he stopped, was actually faster than Hamilton's, if I remember the clock. Yeah, but it's the same whenever I'm playing Motorsport Manager, and I'm like, oh no, both my car's tyres are done. I'm gonna have to bring them both in. you got a bit of sweat coming down your brow, thinking, oh, this is going to be close.
But the stops are quite long in that game. Like, there's not like a 2-second stop like in real life.
My season I'm doing now, refueling has been banned, so the stops are literally 2 seconds, like it is in F1.
Oh, my refueling banned. But the season that I was doing last time I was playing it, I'm sure it was banned. Doesn't matter.
I quite like that. Little bit of inside stuff. Anyway, Mercedes, just a perfect weekend, really. The only thing that Mercedes didn't get, of course, was the fastest lap. But we'll talk about that later. But otherwise, Hamilton, looking at the results, Bottas was 6 seconds behind Hamilton in the end. Not a massive margin, but Hamilton, an untroubled run. To the flag, and he won. I think it's a fitting driver to win the 1,000th Grand Prix. But it would have been nice if it was a bit more for the win, anyway.
Yeah, towards the top end, from about, I don't know, a few laps in, I was seeing like the timings, and it was just they were getting further and further apart. It was just like spreading out, and I think I said like. Maybe 5 laps in, I was like, this is going to be a terrible race, because there's just no one's competing. Like, and I know it probably there was a few pit stop, like there's a few different strategies, that sort of thing. But yeah, the pace of the cars were not close enough to really.
And I think that was shown by qualifying, where the teams were basically. You know, they were in order. Well, when that happens, I'm sure some of the big wigs at Formula F1 were thinking, "Oh no, this is not going to be great." Because
when it's in order like that.
But obviously, the race didn't finish in that order. But it was not very close racing for the majority.
Yeah, it wasn't exciting.
So moving away from Mercedes, Ferrari had a very interesting race, and I really want to hear what your thoughts are on the whole team orders escapade.
Yeah,
you go on.
So So I think at the time, Vettel was faster, and I think they were right to swap him and give him a chance to pull off. Sorry,
pull away.
Didn't mean that to sound rude. Sorry, to pull away. And then when he didn't, looking back, I think they maybe should have swapped them back again. But at the time, I kind of felt like I felt when I watched it, I thought it was they did the right thing. But looking back, it really was, it didn't work out very well on Leclerc. Like it really, and I think if they'd swapped them back again, that would have been the right thing to have done. Hindsight. But I did feel live that they were doing the right thing.
Interesting. So I've got the opposite opinion. Also, I did watch it live, but okay. I hadn't seen the result or anything like that. So just for the clarity's sake, at the start of the race, Leclerc got a better start than Vettel. So he was in third place on merit ahead of Vettel. From what I could tell, Vettel wasn't massively quicker than Leclerc. So Ferrari came on the radio, they tell Leclerc, okay, pull away a bit, and if you can't, we'll swap you, we'll have to swap you. So Leclerc was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then he didn't pull away as much as they wanted, so they swapped the cars around. And I thought this was very harsh at the time. I thought, right, okay, this is clear favouritism to Vettel at this point.
But don't you think Vettel was being
held
up?
Well, not from what I was watching, not really. I wouldn't. I could see, not particularly. And when Vettel did get ahead, and Leclerc basically stayed with him, and it wasn't really getting away from his teammate, I was thinking, if they'd swapped them back round again, because hadn't really done anything different, then maybe it would have been okay. But as it turned out, Ferrari really messed up their strategy. And so instead of finishing third and fourth, they ultimately finished third and fifth with Leclerc down in fifth, losing out to Max Verstappen, which came down to the fact Ferrari switched him onto Plan B, which meant go longer on the middle on the second stint of tyre, and that put him behind Verstappen.
Because they were saying they were going to go as long as they can, and then they didn't go.
No, it was only
that long. Because I kind of thought they were going to send him really deep into the race, and then they were going to give him a pair of softs for the last like 15 laps or 10 laps.
Do what he can.
And he could just, you know,
make
up the time. And then like two laps on, he comes in. So it's like nothing really gained or...
I'm completely on with you with that one. When I was like, okay, they're leaving. He's in third place, leaving Leclerc out there. They're trying a different strategy. Great. But no, like you say, a lap or two later, they're bringing him out anyway. So... He's really lost out because he's dropped far behind Verstappen, and ultimately he finished 4 seconds behind Verstappen, which isn't a massive amount, and that could have been if he pitted sooner, he could have retained that. A poor strategy choice from the Ferrari. They could have had a 3-4. Ultimately, they got a fourth.
And the thing I just thought of as well that they did was they left him out, I think, to help Vettel. Like, who was it?
Bottas.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That Leclerc held up for a lap.
Bottas had to overtake Leclerc, when going before he pitted.
And then was Verstappen involved in that, or was he?
No, he was behind at that point. Verstappen came in, he made his stop, and then he had a proper go at Vettel. And fair play to him, that was the best action, I think.
Mid
race action. He was ahead for about
He
was ahead for about half a corner, and then Vettel came across, shut the door, and that was it.
He just kind of went through the corner, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That was enough. But at least Verstappen had a go. I mean, we had a moan about him earlier in the show, but I do appreciate him trying his damnedest out there. And it's quite clear that the Red Bull probably is the third best car at the moment. But with circuits like that are coming up, like Monaco and the like, he should be in a good stead to probably be one of the contenders.
Yeah, definitely.
A word on Gasly.
Glad to see him in the top six. It's the best. It's probably the best he's done. Well, he's done. And obviously they pitted him two or three laps ago. They had a free stop, so they pitted him to give him the fresh tyres, to give him the fastest lap. Which, I don't know if you remember Leclerc being the same position in the first race, and they never pitted him. Do you remember? In the first race, he was fifth, and he had a massive gap to sixth.
He could have gone for it.
And I don't know why they didn't pit him. He would have been fifth. And got
it's Ferrari being conservative again. I think it goes back to what you said in the previous shows. Ferrari are maybe they've got a fundamental problem, and we now know they did have a fundamental problem with their engine cylinder. So maybe they were protecting it back from Australia. Who knows? But no, Pierre Gasly, got the fastest lap, so extra point there, and a solid sixth position, which is better. It's better.
But
no,
it's not
he still
good
finished
enough.
50 seconds behind Verstappen. I mean...
Yeah, but that's obviously including a pit stop. That's like
20 seconds.
Take, you know, it's not
seconds,
really...
It's a half a minute.
You can take a chunk
he's
still of
that. He's still way behind.
Yeah.
Gasly, more work, obviously more work to do. But show some improvement.
He's warming to the new car, new team. Yeah, it's going to take a bit more time. But obviously, if he's still this far back in another, towards the end of the season, then it's difficult to see him staying, I think.
No, he still needs to step up. He's got to start matching Verstappen, for me, and soon, to retain his place.
Well, he's got to get close to him.
He's got to get close.
I don't expect him to match him. Because if he does match him, then it's like we've got a superstar.
And he hasn't
like,
got that star quality, though. But I couldn't see that last year. It looks like he's a safe pair of hands, but at the moment, he's world championship material. It's a push to say that.
Yeah. And he's still young, but perhaps...
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
Interesting.
We'll see.
So going down into the midfield, there were some good battles in the midfield pack. Kimi Raikkonen was getting his elbows out with the Haas cars. Have I pronounced it right this time?
Haas. I don't think there's a right way to pronounce it. I think they're both wrong.
Yeah, Haas is wrong. So no points for Haas. Again, they finished outside of the points. They went backwards rather than forwards. That's what we saw in the last race as well, wasn't it? Mm. So not great for them. Daniel Ricciardo finished the race. He finished the race.
Yes,
that's his first points for Renault. Best of the rest, which is a good sign. But Hülkenberg retired, so obviously still some reliability gremlins that Renault need to sort out.
It's a shame that they're not. Yeah, so I really want them to do well.
But then it looks like they've still got a lot of work to do.
It might come with the season. It might.
Well, I mentioned Monaco before. Ricciardo at Monaco will probably be able to do something a bit special. Maybe a podium.
Yeah.
To make up for the car's deficit. Who knows?
Because he won the race last season.
No, exactly. He knows how to drive Monaco.
You'd think the Red Bulls would be up there. You'd think Max is going to want to win, having crashed his car.
Oh, in quali. Oh, yes. Reliving that with Drive to Survive. So that's good stuff. Big shout out to Alex Albon for his amazing comeback drive, and it really was an amazing comeback drive. So he started from the pit lane, and he ends up the race in 10th place.
Yeah,
I mean that shows some pace.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, that's and the other thing is he had a lot of drivers behind him, and he just seemed quite cool about it. Like you didn't see him kind of thinking, oh, he's going to... Like, you know, sometimes you see drivers, they lock up and they just go a bit wide, or they just... Yeah,
comfortable.
They
don't look comfortable.
They just look like the pressure is beginning to show. Whereas for him, he just kept driving the same. He looked cool and calm and...
That shows some very, a very good temperament, and that probably doing really, really well. For the future, very impressive stuff from him. Not so much from his teammate, must say.
I think so far this season, I think Kvyat has been really.
He's been all right.
Not including this race though. Like the first race, the first two. Like the first race,
he was 10th. Yeah, he finished ahead of Gasly, which we talked about. We said about it. It's pretty good. With fair play. Yeah.
So I think he's done really well, but obviously, So in this race, he had the coming together. With Sainz and then Lando.
He was in a McLaren Norris. Sandwich.
And he got... And he... I don't know if you agree, but I don't think he did too much wrong. Like, obviously... because he did cause it, but I don't know if it's a racing in incident or not.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was really harsh.
Totally agree. It should have been 100% a racing incident. It was difficult to tell from the camera angles exactly what went wrong. What happened? But it looks like he hit Sainz first.
He just lost a little bit of grip.
That's right. He oversteered. Touched him. Corrected it, which hit to Sainz, and then Sainz hitting him to him caused him to hit into Lando. Which did none of their cars any good. Ended up Daniel Ricciardo retiring. Danny Kvyat retiring, and Lando Norris retiring as well. Obviously, damaged cars. It was probably not best for them to continue. It's another first lap incident that he's been involved with. Question marks already coming back there. It's stuff like that, you know. It's things like, little things like that. They're going to wear him down.
That's going to stop him from. I can't imagine him going back up.
And that's the point. That's the point we made before. Why have they brought him back in again? Are they really going to put him back in Red Bull? Really? I mean, really?
I don't know. I mean. Yeah, I see your point. If they don't want him in a Red Bull, why use up a seat that could be used for a youngster that potentially they do want in a Red Bull?
It was an odd choice putting him in there. Maybe because they felt he knew the team, they needed someone in there just for this year. Obviously, he's scored a point, so fair play. But
Well, I think he's done really well.
Until this race.
Like,
unfortunately, it's just come at this incident has put the question marks back up there, and got a question.
But again, it wasn't. I don't know if it was. I guess it is.
That was his fault, but it wasn't worth.
He caused it. But he didn't do anything wrong. The car just yeah.
His racing incident didn't warrant a drive-through penalty, but it is an incident that he caused. So what does the team go from there? He has to improve, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think if we see the same driver from the first race or two, then I think that was fairly good. Obviously not so much as last race, but I think it could turn out to be a really good move for them. But
we shall see indeed. And a final word on Williams, who finished last. That's all to say.
Russell beat his teammate again. Beat Kubica. I feel for Kubica a bit.
It's his big comeback, and he's finishing.
He's being out driven by a rookie.
But George Russell, I think he's special. I think he's got that star quality that we talked about before.
But
I reckon he should move up the grid quite quickly if Williams don't get their act together. Well, we say that, but at least Williams have got the reliability. That's all you can kind of say. You know, they finished all the races so far.
Yeah, they have finished. That's just true.
No speed.
They're just slow.
Oh, that's unfortunately the case. So I'm going to finish off. A bit more facts for you. So Mercedes finished first and second again.
Oh, yeah.
This is the third time in three races that they've done this. It's making our predictions for this season look a bit rubbish. I don't think anyone was really expecting Mercedes to be like as dominant as they have. Leclerc should have won the previous race, but it's all about the whole package. So the first time since Williams in 1992 that a team have had first and second for three races in a row. Going for four races in a row,
The first three,
it's incredible. And you think as well, that's like we've had these past several years of Mercedes domination, and they haven't achieved that. Then, I mean, what does that say? Mercedes of now? Then they're just that much better. It's almost all.
They must have had three, just not at the start of the season.
That's right.
A few. Where they have been 1-2, they haven't obviously started quite that well before. Yeah. But it's quite tough, I suppose, just to win the first and second, like to get 1-2s. It's something
special. I mean, not even Ferrari managed that back in the mid 2000s when they were winning everything. So
yeah,
incredible stuff there.
Yeah.
Next race, Baku. Baku is usually a race to provide a bit of fireworks.
Exciting. Yeah, it does tend to be. So
that's something to look forward. Very much looking forward to move away, I think, from the Chinese Grand Prix, which wasn't exactly a stellar race. So to finish up, Tom, I want to ask who your driver of the day was.
I think probably I've got to give it to Albon. Interesting.
You're going with the group decision.
He got the official driver day. Yeah. Well, I can't think of anyone like the top five or the top six. There's no one that really like. I know Hamilton won the race.
No,
but it wasn't.
But he won the race. We
race enough. Room. He...
you know.
Yeah, and then no one else in the top five really.
But you could say Ricciardo for finishing seventh.
Albon. Yeah, but you I'd expect him to finish there. Like if the car doesn't fail him, he should be there. I'd say so. He started in seventh. I would say Albon for me.
Would also be Albon. There's no question. There's no question there. What a performance from the young Thai driver, right?
Yeah, he's British.
No, absolutely. Alex Albon. So, Alex Albon, you get the Dance Life Driver of the Day.
That's as good as winning
it
a
is.
Race.
It really is.
Are we going to send him a Dance Life t-shirt? Oh, sorry, I'm yawning.
Alex, you win. No. Don't commit to anything. Don't commit to anything. He just gets a shout.
Sorry.
He gets a shout out on the show.
Alex. Yeah, which is
and if
as
he would like to come
t-shirt.
On the show to share his thoughts on becoming driver of the day for Dance Life, then he is more than welcome.
Yeah, we would make room for him.
I think we can just about squeeze him in somewhere.
We could phone him during the show.
You got his number? Are you friends with him?
It'll be on Facebook, maybe.
Well,
he's probably got Facebook. Well, I'll phone him on Facebook.
You're yawning again.
I think we need to end the show. Sorry.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to A Dat Sport For You To You with him, Dave, and me, Tom. This has been the Chinese Grand Prix F1000 race. We've had a little chat about the race. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please like, share, and subscribe. And so this is the second F1 sort of race review that we've done. I assume there's going to be a few more to come. So I don't know if the next show is going to be a normal Dat's Life podcast or an F1 race review podcast. You'll just have to tune in and find out.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.